Tony, the Little Woodcarver. Chapter 1. At home in the little stone hut. High up in the Bernese Oberland, quite a distance above the meadow-encircled hamlet of Kondergrund, stands a little lonely hut, under the shadow of an old fir tree. Not far away rushes down from the wooded heights of rock the wild brook, which in times of heavy rains, has carried away so many rocks and boulders that when the storms are ended a ragged mass of stones is left, through which flows a swift, clear stream of water. Therefore the little dwelling nearby this brook is called the Stone Hut. Here lived the honest day laborer Tony, who conducted himself well in every farmhouse, where he went to work, for he was quiet and industrious, punctual at his tasks, and reliable in every way. In his hut at home he had a young wife and a little boy, who was a joy to both of them. Near the hut in the little shed was the goat, the milk of which supplied food for the mother and child, while the father received his board through the week on the farms where he worked from morning until night. Only on Sunday was he at home with his wife and little Tony. The wife Elspeth kept her little house in good order. It was narrow and tiny, but it always looked so clean and cheerful that everyone liked to come into the sunny room, and the father, Tony, was never so happy as when he was at home in the stone hut with his little boy on his knee. For 5 years the family lived in harmony and undisturbed peace. Although they had no abundance and little worldly goods, they were happy and content. The husband earned enough, so they did not suffer want, and they desired nothing beyond their simple manner of life, for they loved each other and their greatest delight was little Tony. The little boy grew strong and healthy and with his merry ways delighted his father's heart, when he remained at home on Sundays, and sweetened all his mother's work on weekdays, when his father was away until late in the evening. Little Tony was now 4 years old and already knew how to be helpful in all sorts of small ways, in the house and the goat's shed and also in the field behind the hut. From morning until night he tripped happily behind his mother for he was as content as the little birds up in the old fir tree. When Saturday night came the mother scrubbed and cleaned with doubled energy, to finish early, for on that day the father was through his work earlier than other days, and she always went with little Tony by the hand, part way to meet him. This was a great delight to the child. He now knew very well how one task followed another in the household. When his mother began to scrub, he jumped around in the room, with delight and cried out again and again, "Now we are going for father. Now we are going for father." Until the moment came when his mother took him by the hand and started along. Saturday evening had come again in the lovely month of May. Outdoors the birds in the trees were singing merrily up to the blue sky, indoors the mother was cleaning busily, in order to get out early into the golden evening, and meanwhile now outside, now in the house, little Tony was hopping around and shouting. "Now we are going for father." It was not long before the work was finished. The mother put on her shawl, tied on her best apron and stepped out of the house. Tony jumped for joy and ran 3 times around his mother, then seized her hand and shouted once more. "Now we are going for father." Then he tripped along beside his mother in the lovely, sunny evening. They wandered to the wild brook, over the wooden bridge, which crosses it, and came to the narrow footpath, winding up through the flower-laden meadows to the farm where the father worked. The last rays of the setting sun fell across the meadows and the sound of the evening bells came up from Kondergrund. The mother stood still and folded her hands. "Lay your hands together, Tony," she said, "it is the Angelus." The child obeyed. "What must I pray, mother?" he asked. "Give us and all tired people a blessed Sunday." "Amen," said the mother devoutly. Tony repeated the prayer. Suddenly he screamed, "Father is coming." Down from the farm someone was running as fast as he could come. "That is not father," said his mother, and both went towards the running man. When they met, the man stood still and said, gasping, "Don't go any farther, turn around, Elspeth. I came straight to you, for something has happened." "Oh, my God," cried the woman in the greatest anguish, "has something happened to Tony?" "Yes, he was with the woodcutters, and then he was struck. They have brought him back. He is lying up at the farm, but don't go up there," he added, holding Elspeth fast, for she wanted to start off as soon as she heard the news.
"Not go up?" she said quickly. "I must go to him, I must help him and see about bringing him home."
"You cannot help him, he is already dead," said the messenger in an unsteady voice. Then he turned and ran back again, glad to have the message off his mind. Elspeth threw herself down on a stone by the way, unable to stand or to walk. She held her apron before her face and burst into weeping and sobbing, so that Tony was distressed and frightened. He pressed close to his mother and began to cry too. It was already dark,
when Elspeth finally came to herself and could think of her child. The little one was still sitting beside her on the ground, with both hands pressed to his eyes, and sobbing pitifully. His mother lifted him up. "Come, Tonley, we must go home, it is late," she said, taking him by the hand. But he resisted. "No, no, we must wait for father," he said and pulled his mother back. Again she could not keep back the tears. "Oh, Tonley, father will come no more," she said, stifling her sobs. "He is already enjoying the blessed Sunday we prayed for the weary. See, the dear Lord has taken him to heaven. It is so beautiful there, he will prefer to stay there." "Then we will go too," replied Tonley, starting. "Yes, yes, we shall go there too," promised his mother, "but now we must first go home to the stone hut," and without a word she went with the little one back to the silent cottage. The proprietor of the Madden farm sent word to Elspeth the following day that he would do everything necessary for her husband, and so she need not come until it was time for the service, for she would not recognize her husband. He sent her some money in order that she would not have too much care in the next few days, and promised to think of her later on. Elspeth did as he advised and remained at home until the bells in Condergrin rang for the service. Then she went to accompany her husband to his resting place. Sad and hard days came for Elspeth. She missed her good, kind husband everywhere, and felt quite lost without him. Besides, cares came now which she had known little about before, for her husband had had his good, daily work. But now she felt sometimes as if she would almost despair. She had nothing but her goat in the little potato field behind the cottage, and from these she had to feed and clothe herself and the little one, and besides furnish rent for the little house. Elspeth had only one consolation, but one that always supported her when pain and care oppressed her: she could pray, and although often in the midst of tears, still always with the firm belief that the dear Lord would hear her supplication. When at night she had put little Tony in his tiny bed, she would kneel down beside him and repeat aloud the old hymn, which now came from the depths of her heart, as never before. "O, God of love, O Father heart, in whom my trust is founded, I know full well how good thou art, e'en when by grief I am wounded. O Lord, it surely cannot be that thou wilt let me languish in hopeless depths of misery, and live in tears of anguish. O Lord, my soul yearns for thine aid in this dark vale of weeping, for thee I've waited, hoped and prayed assured of thy safe keeping.